Welcome to the Moose Room, Dr. Brad Hines. Today, just wanted to talk about a subject that's been on my mind lately and one that has affected our dairy herd here in Morris, and that's leucosis. I think it's one of those diseases that we tend not to think about. And, you know, yonies is probably one of the biggest factors, at least in dairy herds, that farmers think about. It's probably on everybody's mind because you see cows that have symptoms, that have clinical signs, and it's easy to maybe think about what those are. But leucosis is kind of one of those different diseases that you might not see in animals. And I really wanted to talk a little bit about it today, what leucosis is, how it impacts cattle operations, and then really talk about some of the study results that we've seen in our university herd. I've been monitoring leucosis for a few years, and I recently got involved with Michigan State University and doing some monitoring of our herd. And we'll talk a little bit about what we did and what we saw and what we're going to actually do to help manage leucosis in our herd. A lot of the times we think about leucosis, we hear about leucosis. Some people call it BLV or bovine leukemia virus. You'll hear it, BLV or leucosis, they are the same thing. And it affects both beef and dairy cattle. It's really caused by a virus that really integrates into a cow or animal's DNA. There's different ways that you can get BLV or leucosis and the transmission that occurs between animals. It's really between blood or bodily fluids, and that can happen through dehorning. You know, you might have some open wounds there, castration, tattooing. If you tattoo animals, you know, you have blood. Ear tags especially can, if you get blood on ear tag or ear taggers, or there's other ways, what we call vertical transmission, and that's from a cow to a calf, either utero or through colostrum and milk. So that's certainly a consideration as well. There's also the thought that you can get it from reusing contaminated needles or syringes. So if you're vaccinating animals or giving shots for breeding, you know, using more than one needle is best. So using the same needle for multiple cows, you can transmit leucosis between animals. Breeding sleeves. So if you're breeding animals or preg checking, using the same sleeve on multiple animals can transmit leucosis. Also balling guns. So if you're treating animals and using a balling gun and putting it down the animal's mouth, that could transmit leucosis as well. So there's many different ways that leucosis could be transmitted. If you think about what are some of the clinical signs that you see in these animals, well, there are a lot of animals that don't show any signs of leucosis at all. You might not even know that you have it if animals don't go clinical. Tend to see it in older animals, obviously. So if you have younger cows, you might not see some of those symptoms. If you have an advanced disease, they may get tumors in their lymph nodes or organs. That's a telltale sign of leucosis. Some of the other signs that you might see that, you know, these are symptoms that are seen in a lot of different diseases. You can have weight loss, decreased milk production for dairy cows. There's also a huge economic impact that you can realize in leucosis in your herds. You know, reduced milk production for dairy animals, increased culling rates. You might have restrictions on exporting cattle. We also see reduced growth rates and decreased carcass value because some carcasses can be condemned if tumors are present in the lymph nodes. So you might get a condemned cattle. If you've gotten some cows that you've shipped to market and haven't got any price for them, or they get condemned, quite possibly they have leucosis. I know we have had that in our dairy herd, but here we have had a few animals that were condemned that we didn't even know that they had leukosis. And so we obviously didn't get any cull value for those animals because they were condemned. So there's many different ways you can test for leukosis. Probably the most popular one is an ELISA test. It's a serology test. If you have dairy cows, you can test that easily with milk at the time of DHI test. So they'll test for ELISA in the milk and determine if they are leukosis positive or not. You can also do a PCR testing, and that detects BLV DNA in the blood. So it's maybe a little bit more accurate than the ELISA test. Now let's really talk about how it can impact cattle operations. What does it cause? What are some things that you see? Well, if you have a dairy operation, reduce milk production. Probably number one, you get a gradual decline in milk yield, even though it might be subclinical. You might not know that these cows have leukosis, and you get reduced milk production. Obviously, if you have advanced disease, you're going to significantly impact milk production. And that's where we get to the point where we cull the cow and then realize that she gets condemned. In dairy herds, you probably see increased culling rates. If cows have clinical signs or they have tumors, they're often culled prematurely, so it causes issues there. Obviously, all of this culling can disrupt herd numbers. It can increase replacement costs and can really lead to some economic losses. We also see decreased fertility. Obviously, BLV-infected cows may have reduced fertility. And increase preg rates, increase rates of pregnancy loss. So you might have that going on. That was one of the reasons why we might have thought we had a leukosis issue, is you see a lot of pregnancy loss, or you see pregnancy loss in cows that are been declared pregnant. Obviously, you might have increased cost from a veterinary standpoint for testing, treatment, and different management changes due to leukosis transmission. And there can be a lot of different herd management challenges that you have to deal with. And that's pretty intensive practices about shared equipment, how many needles you can use, dehorning, disbudding, a lot of those things that we had talked about that may cause herd management challenges that you see. So what about beef operations? You know, we talk a lot about dairy, but what about beef? How does it affect a beef operation? Well, you get lower carcass value. That's one of the main things that you see, and its impact on beef quality, because you have these lesions where these animals are condemned at slaughter. Like it happens in the dairy world, but you see this in the beef world as well. Even without some of these visible tumors that you might see in these leukosis-positive cows, they may receive a lower price at the sales barn. You also see decreased growth performance, so reduced feed efficiency, slower weight gain in these animals, especially as they get older and get closer to market weight. You see a lot slower weight gain, which in turn can delay finishing times and affect profitability. Obviously, culling and mortality are an issue, so animals may need to be culled early, which reduces longevity and can cause economic issues as well. And again, a lot of management. A lot of times we go back to management. How does a management affect leukosis in beef herds? Well, you might have, again, some of the issues that we saw in the dairy herds about handling, sometimes disbudding, balling guns, if you're breeding heifers, needles, especially vaccinations or treatments, using of the same needle can transmit leukosis. Branding can be a problem. Dehorning, disbudding, and shared needles are probably the biggest management risks in beef herds. There might be some other things that we might not think about when it comes to leukosis in dairy and beef operations. Well, we can affect the genetics of the herd. We can lose genetic values in our animals if we're culling infected animals that maybe have high genetic values. So we lose genetic performance in these animals because of leukosis. Obviously, there's herd health issues. Sometimes cattle buyers may avoid herds that are known to have leucosis, which leads to reduced marketability of their animals on the beef side, or called dairy cows, or of replacement stock. And obviously economics, that's probably the biggest one, from cost of testing, cost of culling, and you get reduced growth and milk production in these herds. So those are some things that are certainly how they impact dairy and beef herds. So let's talk about why I'm interested in this and why we went down the leucosis testing route at our herd. Probably in 2018 or 2019, we were having some issues, you know, some losing of embryos in animals. There were some cows that were showing up sick. We couldn't quite tell what was going on. We did have one cow that was condemned when we culled them. And in consultation with our veterinarian, we decided that we should maybe do some leucosis testing and see what would happen and see what the actual prevalence was in our herd. We didn't really know. I don't think I really wanted to know, because I thought it would be really high. How was I going to manage this issue if I were to have a really high leucosis rate? There's studies that have been done that show 80, almost 90% of dairy herds have leucosis. About 40% of beef herds are infected. So with the dairy, it's quite important that we try to get this under control. And I also think it was affecting milk production. It's kind of this underlying disease that I didn't really think about, because cows weren't really showing symptoms. It was maybe causing some issues. So we decided to test some cows to see where we were. And so we tested three different times in late 2020. So obviously we're on DHIA. Minnesota DHIA tested our milk at the time of DHI test. It's actually about $6 per cow. So sometimes it can be quite expensive to test that when we have 250 cows at our dairy. You know, that's $1,200 to $1,300 in testing, just to see if we have leucosis from a milk ELISA test. So in the dairy, if you test with DHI, it's an ELISA test. The results come back in less than a week. So it is relatively quick. So you can figure this out really fast. You know, some herds do a whole bulk tank screening to see if it's there before they go trying to figure out what individual cows have it. But we went right into the individual cows. So we tested three times, and across that, each one, we had about 33% positive in October 2020. We had 34% positive in November 2020 and 14% positive in December 2020. So overall, we tested 246 cows. We had 72 positive cows on milk ELISA, which was about 29% of our herd was positive for leucosis. So that was actually lower than I expected. You know, some of the stories that I've heard about leucosis testing was, oh, you can have 40 to 50% of your herd test positive. You know, at the time we were doing things that we maybe should have not been doing, like sharing needles when we were doing breeding, you know, with luteolice or cisterellin, we'd share needles, things like that. So there were some things from a management perspective that could have been spreading our leucosis in these herds. But albeit, it was less than I expected. And so that was in 2020. That was 4 years ago. And the thought was, okay, well, now what do I do? What do I do? I have 30% of the cows that are positive. I can't cull 30% of our cows, because that would be economically disastrous for our dairy herd. So how do we manage this? Well, I did nothing. I didn't cull any of the cows that were leucosis positive. I just looked at the data and went, I don't know what to do. I have no clue. So I did nothing. In 2024 here, early in the year, January, February, I was contacted by a researcher at Michigan State University, Tasia Kendrick, and we worked together in some of the genetics projects. So I had known her through some of our research groups. And she had a study looking at BLV testing and control in field herds, regular dairy herds. And she was wondering if I would be interested in testing our herd to see what was there and learning how to manage leucosis. And she's doing this in other herds as well in the Midwest. but we were one of the herds that she chose to test. So what did we do? Well, in May of 2024, we did a milk-eliza test. The idea was to do the milk-eliza test, figure out which cows were positive from that ELISA test, and then take those positive cows and actually do PCR sampling. So actually take a blood sample and see if they were positive and how positive they actually were, or how high they were for a BLV in their blood. And then we had some consultations after that in late July and kind of come up with a plan. We tested 287 cows at the end of May. There were 79 positive ELISA cows. So about the same as what we had 4 years earlier. There were also 13 cows that were ELISA suspect cows, and they consider those as negative. So we had about a 28% positive rate in 2024, which was the same as what we had 4 years earlier. So it was a little bit relieving for me to know that positivity rate was about the same. Doing no management, changing nothing, we had sort of maintained our herd prevalence rate. Well, if you break down those numbers a little bit, so first lactation cows, we had 10% of those cows were positive. So it does show up in first lactation animals. They probably acquired it when they were either heifers, got it through colostrum from the dam, breeding, you know, you don't know. But 10% of our first lactation cows were positive. 25% of the second lactation cows were positive, and 52% of the older cows, third lactation and greater, were positive. So we're about a third of the herd was older lactation cows. So 287 cows total, about a third of them were third plus lactation cows. So that's about 95 cows, and 52% of them were positive. So most of the cows were positive in later lactation. So then we took those 79 positive cows and took a blood sample on them. Of those 79 cows, 67 of those came back with detectable concentrations of BLV in their blood. So it tells me that the milk ELISA test is quite accurate at detecting BLV from a milk sample. Is it perfect? No. So 12 of those 79, there was no detected BLV in their blood. So the first lactation cows, all of them that we had found before from the milk ELISA test, all were positive for BLV in their blood. The second lactation cows, about the same, found about 25%, and the older cows, about 50% of those. So it really was happening in the older cows. And our goal was to try and figure out what to do. So there was two cows that were probably really causing the biggest issue. We call these super shedders. They had high concentrations of BLV. They were actually positive in October of 2020. They were high again in 2024, and they were positive on a blood sample. So these cows are known to have BLV or leukosis for quite a few years. So the idea was to really think about removal or segregation of the top BLV cows in our herd. So the plan was to devise a way to either cull those or manage the BLV in our herd. So what did we actually talk about in our sort of consultation meetings, and what are we going to do? On our farm, colostrum is fed directly from the dam to the calf. Sometimes we pool milk from all dams for second colostrum, third feedings like that. So what we devised to do was to feed frozen colostrum to calves that were born from leukosis positive dams. So now that we know which cows are leukosis positive, We won't feed colostrum from that dam to her calf. We'll use saved colostrum from known leukosis negative cows or feed a colostrum replacer. So we're not spreading leukosis. One consideration that we had thought about was milking order. Can we milk these leukosis positive cows last? That certainly was an option. For us, it would be very difficult to segregate leukosis positive cows, milk them all last. With both of our herds, you know, we have an organic herd, we have a conventional herd, so now we're creating two more groups. So we decided right now that we would not do that. We would just leave that alone. So what about blood transfer? In 2020, we started using single needles. We actually hoof trim every 6 months now. We probably don't disinfect between cows. Dehorning or disbudding is burning. And we use single needles for lidocaine. So what our plan there was that we would ask the trimmer to see if they could disinfect between trims if they get blood on their hoof trimming machine. So it would be only the cows, if they got blood from a hoof, that they would need to disinfect that blade. The other issue would be to maybe disinfect the disbudding hot iron burner between calves. So we're not transmitting leukosis there. And the other one was consider breeding those positive BLV cows to beef. So that is going to be one of the reasons that I think about when I start devising a mating plan for our herd is breeding those leukosis positive cows to beef. So I know it's maybe counterintuitive because like, well, now we're going to spread leukosis to those beef animals. But since we're a dairy herd and we need replacements, maybe we can help minimize the spread of leukosis in our herd. So these two really high super shedder cows, they got culled within a week. I think one of them was pregnant, one was open. So we culled them. That was a way to reduce those super shedders. And we monitor that. It's probably one consideration that I use for cow culling now is whether leukosis positive or not. So in kind of a follow-up here, we're going to do some more testing in early fall. We're going to collect milk sample for cows that had previous ELISA negative status to see if they show up with leukosis positive again. We're going to collect blood samples from all animals next spring to see if we are reducing leukosis in our herd. So those are some of the strategies that we're going to use. We're probably going to use it from a cow culling management to do that, as well as, you know, make sure that we use single needles, try to sterilize some of our equipment between use for animals, whether we're disbudding, hoof trimming, you know, cleaning different bottles that we use for our animals. And obviously we're going to do some more testing, and it'll probably be more ELISA testing with DHI milk samples and some other PCR blood samples to see if we can reduce some of those super shedders in our herds. Those are the two ways that you can test your animals. Obviously, with a beef animal, a blood sample is going to be the easiest. But with dairy animals, the milk is probably the easiest. You know, it's $6 with DHIA. You can get the test results back quite quickly. Once you've tested your herds, obviously, you have to develop a plan. And how are you going to do that? You could test your bulk tank to see if you have leukosis in your bulk tank before you start going down the road of testing every individual cow. And if you do, then you could do individual cow testing with the milk and develop a plan. And that probably involves maybe segregating those positive animals, strategic culling. Obviously, colostrum management is an important one. I talked about that's what we're going to do, is to feed colostrum to calves from BLV negative cows. Or you could pasteurize it. We don't pasteurize our colostrum, but you could pasteurize it. Obviously, if you use milk replacers, you're doing a better job of reducing the spread of BLV. But we feed raw milk at our dairy, or whole milk, but we pasteurize that as well to our calves. So pasteurizing should help in reducing the transmission of BLV in our cows. And then doing follow-up testing, maybe every 6 months or once a year, to really do some repeat testing to see which cows are positive or which of those cows that were positive before are super shedders. You know, the idea is that super shedders are probably causing most of the transmission in the herd. And obviously there's some employee training that you need to do with strict biosecurity, quarantining animals, a lot of different things. But there's some big benefits to this in trying to reduce BLV in our herd. For us, I'm hoping that we'll be able to lower the BLV prevalence in our herd, increase milk production, have healthier animals, and probably feel a little bit better about what we're doing to improve the animal health in our dairy herd. So with that, I think we're going to end there today. I hope that you learned a little bit about leucosis or BLV in beef and dairy herds, how to sort of manage BLV once you get a diagnosis or do some testing. And I think we'll be following up with this in maybe a year from now and kind of revisiting this. What did we find? Did our leucosis prevalence go down? I hope it does. It's not as high as what I thought, but I hope it's going to be less than 30% the next time we test or the next time that we test. So those are some things that we'll follow up on as we venture into this leucosis testing and trying to help manage it and hopefully creating a little bit more of a profitable dairy. So with that, I thank you for listening. And if you have any comments, questions, or scathing rebuttals, feel free to contact us at the Moose Room. That's with email themoosroom.edu. Or you can find us on the web at University of Minnesota Extension, or you can find me on the web at WCROC Dairy on Instagram. And with that, we'll catch you next time.